Proverbs 8:36, our topic, atheism, social consequences. The consequences of atheism, and this is, we're entering our little tour on our study of atheism. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. Thus far, we have compared the Christian world and life view, that is Bible-believing Christian theism, with atheism, naturalism, or materialism. And we've really only scratched the surface for the sake of brevity. We've seen a number of things that render atheism as absurd as a world and life view. We've noted a number of things in our study by way of review, just quickly. Number one, the Bible teaches that atheism at bottom is a subjective moral problem, not simply a defective, irrational worldview. People are atheists because they love their sin. People are atheists because they're immoral. People are atheists because they are ethical and logical fools. One's view of reality, ontology, and knowledge, epistemology, cannot be separated from one's ethics. Atheists are hostile to the true God and biblical Christianity and thus interpret the facts around them with an anti-God bias. Their God-hating presuppositions permeate their analysis of reality. Okay, if you rule out of bounds any idea of creationism or intelligent design, if you automatically presuppose it cannot be true, and you a priori, before the facts, that's your presupposition. Well, you have to come up with the universe coming out of a singularity, which is pure mysticism, like a turtle laying an egg or something. It's complete nonsense. It's couched in scientific terminology, so people think it's scientific, but it's mysticism. Number two, atheism is irrational and inconsistent because it cannot make reality intelligible and cannot account for meaning or ethics. Atheists are constantly stealing concepts from the Christian world and life view. For example, the uniformity of nature, fixed laws of logic, true meaning to life, real ethics that should be obeyed. If they were honest, they wouldn't believe in ethics. If they were honest, they would be like the Nazis or the Soviets, who just slaughtered people in the millions for the sake of humanity. And then three, atheism is not really empirical or scientific. An objective analysis of astronomy, cellular biology, paleontology, the fossil record, linguistics, anthropology, etc., proves that A, the universe had a beginning in time. And we saw that the scientific explanations of the Big Bang defy natural laws and they descend into pure mysticism. They do. It's mysticism. It's no different than saying that the universe came into existence because a duck laid a cosmic egg or something. B, evolution from non-life to life is impossible. Physically and statistically impossible. It didn't happen. C, life forms appeared on Earth fully formed and did not evolve from primitive life forms. That's a fact. It's a fact of the fossil record. The intermediate species do not exist today, and they do not exist in the fossil record. It's empirically a lie. It didn't happen. The only reason people believe in macroevolution is because creation by a personal infinite God is a priori, even before the facts, considered ruled out of bounds automatically. Four, we looked at the fact that biblical Christianity is the only worldview that makes life intelligible and accounts for reality. We also looked at the overwhelming evidence for the historicity of Jesus Christ and the reliability of Scripture. And like I said, we only scratched the surface. But we looked at enough to prove that atheist apologists are ignorant liars who cannot face the truth. They love their sin and their idols too much to admit their intellectual bankruptcy and irrationality. Well, today we're going to look at the effects of atheistic naturalism on culture, society, and politics. And just briefly, one quick thing I didn't address, but I keep seeing this on YouTube. Oh, every 30 seconds a child dies of hunger. How could God allow that? Well, there's this thing called man was given a free will and man chose sin over God. Man got himself into this predicament. God didn't put a gun to his head and force him to commit sin. So to blame God for man's problems when man chose those problems is absurd. But that's just another cop-out that they use. But today we're going to look at the effects of atheism or naturalism on culture, society, and politics. The rise of atheistic naturalism in the 1860s, now it existed far beyond that, even back in the ancient Greeks, but this is when it's becoming popular in Western society. And its almost complete dominance over the intelligentsia in the Western nations by the 1930s has had profound negative effects upon society, culture, and politics. Europe became rotten much faster than America because Christian liberalism or modernism was accepted there first and had a much wider influence in a faster fashion. Germany, for example, the rise of Nazism was predictable because they cast off Orthodox Christianity. There were still Orthodox Christians in Germany, but most of the churches cast off Orthodox Christianity for liberalism. And what happened was is this widespread unbelief led people into mysticism and astrology and spiritualism and all sorts of lunatic fringe things. And that's where the Nazis came. They came from the root of evolution, atheism, and mysticism. As we discuss the culture, this crucial topic, we need to keep a few things in mind first, and especially with America. The Christian consensus in culture that preceded the great rise of atheism and secular humanism was far from perfect and actually had a number of problems and evils that we must condemn. Okay, when we talk about Christian culture, we talk about Christian society, we talk about medieval Europe and Christendom, it never reached the level it should have reached. Now, in Scotland in the Reformation and in the Netherlands and so forth, it got pretty darn good. But it's not where it should have been in Europe. For example, forms of colonialism, which are designed to exploit people economically and take away liberties, are certainly unscriptural and immoral. Okay, this is economic policy through coercion and the use of guns and cannons and warships. The focus of the Western nations' dealings with various parts of the heathen world should have been focused on Christianization and the uplifting of cultures ethically and economically. They both could have been done together. The focus on profit for profit's sake and exploitation based on military coercion is neither Christian nor wise. Some nations, such as Belgium, were outright satanic and wicked in their treatment of nations. The Belgian Congo. Millions were slaughtered and used as slaves. Others were much better, but not necessarily Christian. Because the Bible and biblical law was not the foundation of foreign policy and economics, some good as well as much that was bad was done. So we're going to look at history honestly. This was not the fault of the Bible, however, but of men who professed to be Christian who ignored the Bible. In addition, chattel slavery and racism were widespread in America. But they were also totally unscriptural. Not only does the Bible forbid chattel slavery and racism, the Church of Jesus Christ or God's kingdom is multi-ethnic and multinational. Doesn't make a bit of difference whether you're a Jew or you're black or you're white or you're Eskimo or you're Hottentot. Doesn't make a bit of difference in God's eyes. If you believe in Christ, you're equal. You're fully part of God's kingdom. You could be a leader in the church. You can be a teacher in the church. You could be an elder in the church. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white, what race you are. What matters is, do you believe in Christ? What matters is faith. This is important to keep in mind since virtually all ancient pagan cultures were very, very racist. The Jews were racist. The Gentiles were racist. The Romans were racist. The Greeks were racist. They all had a hierarchy of races, and they always placed themselves at the top. Racism is an aspect of man's sinful nature. But it's not taught in the Bible. The Bible has always taught that all races and ethnic groups must be accepted as full members of Christ's church and must be fully accepted into all positions of leadership in the church.
The Bible also allows interracial marriage as long as each partner is a Christian.
Now, I know that heresies have developed in the South and were actually accepted throughout the United States. Interracial marriage was illegal in virtually every state at one time. That's not based on the Bible. That's based on racism.
The greatest antidote to all forms of racism is the biblical teaching that all men are created in God's image and thus equally human, valuable, and dignified. Moreover, all men can be part of God's own family through faith in Jesus Christ. There is neither white nor black, rich nor Jew, rich or poor, Gentile or Jew in God's kingdom. Ironically, macroevolutionary theory was foundational to racism in the decades after Darwin, for it taught that men are not fixed in their nature and character because they were not created in the image of God. But some races of men, it's very logical to conclude, are more evolved than others.
The textbook on biology that was used at the Scopes trial, that was the result of the Scopes trial in 1920, had a chart of evolutionary progress. Guess who was at the bottom? Blacks were. Guess who was at the top? Whites were. And in between, you had your Mexicans and your Orientals and so forth. That's racist. And that comes straight out of unbelieving evolution. It's the same kind of nonsense the Germans used.
The whole eugenics movement and the Nazi doctrines that grew out of it were based on macroevolutionary theory.
Have there been professing Christians that were racist? Pigs? Yes. Does the Bible say that that's okay? No. Once again, don't blame the Bible and don't blame God and don't blame Jesus Christ for the sins and the inconsistencies and the stupidity of professing Christians.
Second, when we speak of the negative effects of atheistic naturalism on culture, we must keep in mind that the displacement of one worldview by another is a somewhat lengthy process, and it takes a long time for society to change and people to learn to be consistent with a new world and life view.
For example, during the 1920s and the 30s, Christian liberalism captured almost all the mainline Protestant denominations in America. Presbyterian, Methodist, Episcopal, you name it.
Now, Christian liberalism, by the way, is simply secular humanism with religious terminology that has been given a new, radically different meaning than the one held by historic Orthodox Bible-believing Christianity. So it's a form of practical atheism. Even though they claim to believe in God, it's not the God of the Bible, it's the God of humanism. And thus, Christian liberals have always allied themselves with atheistic secular humanists. They're pro-abortion, they're pro-socialism, they're pro-Marxist, they're pro-sexual immorality, they're pro-sodomite marriage, they're pro-sodomite behavior. They've always allowed themselves a secular humanist because they are secular humanists. Yes, they retain some terminology from the Bible, but they give it radically different meaning.
Because atheistic naturalism or secular humanism has largely replaced the viewpoint of American society that functioned under the Christian world and life view. And this Christian world and life view dominated America since the first people, not the native peoples, but the Europeans that came here. It dominated American world and life view since the Puritans landed in New England, the Pilgrims, and then the Puritans in the early 1600s, all the way until the 20th century. And even in the 20th century, it took time for it to fade. It has taken a few generations to see the fruit of the atheistic worldview on society. American society in the 1940s and 50s still instinctively functioned somewhat Christian, even though secular humanism was ascendant.
Wives were expected to stay at home and take care of the kids. Men were expected to get married. They were expected to have a family. They were expected to support the family. This is all covenant headship. This is all taught in the Bible. Monogamous heterosexual marriage. They were expected to be faithful to their wives. Adultery was highly frowned upon and seen as wicked. out of wedlock pregnancy was highly frowned upon. Homosexuality was illegal, as it should be, and highly frowned upon. This all comes from the Bible. This is all from the Christian world and life view.
The full effect of this change of worldviews began to become more apparent in the 1960s. It's the grandchildren of the people born in the, that lived in the 30s. It's their grandchildren that began to be consistent. It really starts in the 50s, but it doesn't become popular and widespread until the 60s. You get the beatniks in the 50s, and you had a lot of weird movements going on in the 50s, but that was a very tiny thing. In the 60s, it explodes in the scene. The hippie youth culture openly rejected the Puritan work ethic, the nuclear family, the Christian view of sexuality, and Christian civilization in general. It was rejected. Tune in. Turn on. Drop out. Timothy Leary saying, turn on, drop out. As secular humanism became ascendant, irrationality also became ascendant. The occult, astrology, and all these cults replaced the void left by the abandonment of Christian spirituality. Because secular humanism has largely replaced the Christian worldview in America, atheists are both very hostile to Bible-believing Christianity, and yet they continually steal from the Christian world and life view. You don't find, now when it comes to abortion, they talk like Nazis. They sound like communists and Nazis. And you had that recently, very recently, the governor of Virginia basically said, yeah, the baby lives, it survives an abortion, it's alive, make it comfortable, and then decide whether you want to kill it or not. That was not viewed as, you know, conservatives didn't like it, but Democrats didn't even care. That didn't even faze them at all. They didn't call for him being removed from office at all for that, which is murder. It's akin to Nazism. It's akin to communism. It's akin to genocide. That didn't bother them. But he wore blackface in college. Oh, get rid of the guy. Our society's insane. And I'm not saying blackface is okay. It's not. But to compare, to get angry at blackface when the guy's talking about murdering a baby. Things have gone south very bad. But they do steal from the Christian world and life view. Well, let us turn our attention to the negative effects of atheism on society and culture first. Atheistic naturalism destroys the rule of law. The rule of law. And we're talking about the rule of law biblically defined. The whole concept of the rule of law is based on the idea that an objective, unchanging, absolute law stands above all men, including civil officials. And therefore, men cannot simply make up their own concepts of ethics and justice on the fly. There's something above man. And that restrains the king, it restrains the president, it restrains the prime minister, just as it does the poor person. The rule of law, biblically defined, has been one of the greatest checks on state power and abuse because the state is restrained by an external ethic and cannot thus use the law arbitrarily to oppress their citizens. For this reason, the rule of law, biblically defined, is a great bulwark of liberty and true freedom. When the state is limited by a true, objective, unchanging, absolute moral standard, there is a preservation of the rule of law and freedom. Okay, God says, look, the state, you can't just come in and confiscate somebody's property arbitrarily. There's rules, and the state must obey those rules. You take away the Bible, you take away biblical absolutes, you take away ethical absolutes, the state can do really anything it wants. But in an atheistic system where moral laws are purely arbitrary human constructs, that is, all laws are positive, all laws are imminent, all laws are liable to change, the state's power is theoretically unlimited because the state or the courts that are appointed by the state is the ultimate determiner, creator, and controller of law. You know, theoretically, if the state said, if you go 5 miles an hour over the speed limit, we can confiscate your car, theoretically, the state could do that. Now, thankfully, our Constitution forbids those kind of things, and thankfully, sometimes the courts still rule in accord with the Constitution. And the Constitution was very heavily influenced by the Christian world and life view. Thankfully, there's the Constitution there. But theoretically, in a communist state, they could put you to death if you go 5 miles over the speed limit, because man makes it up as he goes along. The business of the state then becomes not the suppression of evil as defined by God, which is what the state's supposed to do, but really to control all men or to suppress any ideas, ethics, or peoples that do not agree with the state's plan. The whole concept of rights is totally dependent on the biblical teaching that man is created in God's image and God has given man an unchanging, absolute ethical standard. You take that away, nobody is safe. And the only reason the United States is as good as it still is because of our Christian past and the remnants of the Christian worldwide view as they affect people. And, of course, there's the restraint of voters. Because the voters can throw somebody out when somebody does something crazy, the voters will throw them out. Now, we're seeing that the Democratic Party is becoming crazier and crazier and crazier the more it gets away from the biblical worldwide view. Murder your baby? Go ahead. Even if it's outside the womb, go ahead and kill it. The moral law of God given to mankind through special revelation sets forth God's plan for a godly society, freedom, liberty, and prosperity. We must remember that ethics or morals are concepts concerning ultimate reality. And whoever gives the laws or defines ethics in a society functions as the God of that society. Is the state your God, or is the true and living God of Scripture, Jehovah, Jesus Christ, your God? In a Christian society, the source of law is God. And if a political ruler rules unjustly or against God's objective standard, he can be and should be removed from office like a godless tyrant. Atheist materialism of necessity embraces an arbitrary, imminent law order that makes the state or the majority of people, as they find expression in the state, that is, as their representatives, the ultimate ethic creators and lawgivers. Consequently, the state always becomes the god of atheistic systems. And I'm not going to go into it, but this goes back, you know, you go all the way back to Hegel. He was the first person openly advancing this. Hegel said, look, your life has no meaning other than to be a servant and clog in the wheel of the state. The state gives you meaning. The state gives you ethics. The state gives you purpose. And to give life meaning, you have to be a slave, a functionary of the state. That goes back all the way to Hegel. Consequently, the state always becomes the god of atheistic systems. In explicitly atheistic states, like communist states, the atheistic ethic functions more consistently and boldly. And thus the enemies of the state are simply murdered en masse or are placed in concentration camps. You've heard of the Gulag Archipelago. You've heard of the death camps in Nazi Germany. Well, they were, most of them were in Poland. The Nazis, they invaded a nation. Then who went in? The SS. And the SS had death squads, and the SS had groups that went around killing enemies of the state. Communists do the exact same thing. They just have different names. The mass extermination of whole peoples, whether Jews or whether Ukrainian farmers, is justified because they have defied the god of their system and must be destroyed. The god of the system, the state, has spoken. This slaughter has occurred in every communist nation. To one degree or another, the Soviet Union, the People's Republic of China, North Korea, Cuba, Cambodia, Vietnam, in the slangs, East Germany, Czechoslovakia, Romania, you name it. Wherever you go, the slaughter follows. And according to the atheistic worldview, it is ethical, it is good, it is just, because the state is the law determiner and the god of that society. I mean, if you read about Stalin, and you know, Stalin murdered thousands, I mean millions, of faithful communists. And there were communists who were dedicated communists, and the wife was sentenced to death for some arbitrary nonsense that because Stalin didn't like something. And the wife would say, this is good. And they would go to their death thinking it was right, because the state said so. Many atheists would strenuously object to what I have just said. But their objections are only weighty, true, valuable, and true if they presuppose the Christian world and life view. Atheism, legal positivism, or secular humanism cannot appeal to any ethical principles outside of man, because in their system there are no ethical principles outside of man. Now, the Greeks were actually, the ancient Greek philosophers were actually, I like them better than Hegel and modern philosophers. Because the Greeks, at least Plato understood, you have to have some kind of ethic that's real, that's tangible, that can't change. Otherwise, nature's red tooth and claw and do whatever you want. So he posited this realm of ideals out there that just simply exist outside of man and God, his concept of God, that God had to appeal to and man had to appeal to. He understood that. Modern atheists can't have that. There is no realm of ideals. But the Christianity, we have the solution to all the problems in the infinite personal God of Scripture, who is himself infinitely holy, righteous, and just, and all of our ethical principles come from him. Consistent atheism, which is based on pure materialism, everything is a product of matter plus time plus chance, logically denies all possibility of knowledge and meaning. They consequently attempt to find meaning, ethics, and order in human autonomy. But if their starting point is human autonomy, the vicious tyranny of Joseph Stalin is just as valid as the peaceful protests of Mahatma Gandhi. Because they both originated with man and both think that what they're doing is right and true. Once one claims otherwise, he has stolen concepts from the Christian world and life view. And if you see these, you know, like atheist comedians and atheist entertainers, and they talk about their atheism, when they talk about ethics, it's always their personal opinion. It's purely personal opinion. It's purely subjective. Well, I'm ethical because I don't like this. Yeah, but they also like sodomy and they also like killing babies. Atheism, which is rooted in naturalism, simultaneously leads to statism, coercion, and the loss of liberty, as well as antinomianism or ethical chaos. If the universe is self-created and totally random, it's all by chance, then logically there is no God and there is no law. People have been trained to look at the state as the source of law. But they have also been taught that everything is matter plus time plus chance. In a chance universe, whatever exists is natural or normal. Atheists cannot logically have a doctrine of the fall or sin or evil. Therefore, virtually every sexual perversion under the sun is regarded today as normal and thus ethical. Whatever is, and whatever is must be accepted. Now, they draw the line with things like molesting children and sadomasochism and things like that, but they're stealing from the Christian worldview to do that. This is how homosexuality, sodomy, cross-dressing, and homosexual marriage is justified. If chaos is ultimate and normal, why not? But murder, rape, incest, prostitution, and bestiality are also universally found throughout nature. The atheistic state applies its own philosophy of reality arbitrarily because if consistent, it would be seen as absurd and very dangerous. Okay, their argument from homosexuality, some people are born with a tendency toward males. Some men are born with a tendency where they have a desire for men. Oh, well, that justifies them going out and going to a bathhouse and having sex with 10 different men every night. That's their argument. But you can meet people who may have say their tendency is to go out and murder people. They like to rape and murder women. Well, they don't say, well, that tendency justifies that behavior. See, they apply things arbitrarily. Another area where atheistic statism is inconsistent is their view that man is basically good and noble. Yet at the same time, they treat man as stupid and evil and he must be controlled. Here's what Rushdoony says. Quote, humanism speaks of man's goodness, but practically it moves in terms of man's depravity. Because its plan for paradise is to coerce man into goodness as the state defines it. In effect, man is compelled, if he resists, to choose between the state's definition of goodness or to be an outcast or even to be executed. For example, communist regimes and the Nazi regimes. Political dominion and coercion are the humanistic means of coping with man's sin. In such an order, the state exercises dominion over man so that it is not man who exercises dominion, but man who is dominated by a ruling elite. End of quote. That's from Salvation and Godly Rule. It's a great book. Now, in a chance universe, a brute factuality, where men simply make it up as they go along, the ends always justifies the means. Stalin believed it was necessary to have a reign of terror and to murder millions and millions and millions of people. He murdered over 20 million. Was necessary to develop the paradise of socialism. Why, for example, do Democrat politicians boldly and habitually lie about virtually everything? I mean, for example, this whole Russian collusion thing. We've known for over a year that it's all a lie. And we know certainly as a fact that now it's a lie. There's nothing there at all, but they continue to maintain it. And they know it's a lie. They know it's nonsense. They know it was all created, but it serves their purpose. They justify lies and wicked behavior because they believe that their version of reality and social greatness is true, and things like facts must not intrude on their version of reality. Atheistic humanistic politicians, due to their own absurd worldview, cannot play God and require others to meet their utopian ideal of perfection without becoming both a fool and a tyrant. Here's what Rush Tooney writes again. For a state to claim total jurisdiction, as a modern state does, is to claim to be as God, to be a total governor of man and the world. Instead of limited law and limited jurisdiction, the modern anti-Christian state claims jurisdiction from cradle to grave, from womb to tomb, over welfare, education, worship, the family, business and farming, capital and labor, and all things else. The modern state is a Molech demanding Molech worship. It claims total jurisdiction over man and hence requires total sacrifice. Similarly, only the power who is ultimate has the right to be the source of law. God is the only true source of law. The state is an agency of law, one agency among many, church, school, family, etc., and has a specified limited area of law to administer under God. The Molech state denies any such boundaries. It insists on taxing at will, expropriating at its pleasure by eminent domain, and it claims the right to force the youth into welfare and death at the pleasure of the state. End of quote. I saw a thing on YouTube where a guy, these Italians in Philadelphia had a suburb of Philadelphia had a beautiful house. Well, their son got caught with a little bit of heroin. He got caught selling a little bit of heroin. And they took their house. Now, eventually they fought it and they had to kick the son out and they got their house back. But you're not safe. With an unlimited state, you're never safe. Atheists or secular humanists have always exhibited a faith that man, using reason and intelligence, divorced from the myths and superstitions of Christianity, could liberate man and give him a social and economic paradise. And the reality has been the exact opposite. Instead of the ethics and liberty of God and Jesus Christ, we have the ethics of Lenin, Stalin, Hitler, Ho Chi Minh, Castro, Pol Pot, Idi Amin, Chairman Mao, and the modern Democratic Party. Atheism has given us the murder of over 100 million people in socialist nations and over 55 million babies in the United States of America. Atheists follow Satan's plan of salvation, which is man becoming his own God and forming laws independent of God. It is man deciding for himself what is good and what is evil. Basic to the satanic faith is the denial of any validity to God's existence and law.
Secular humanistic politicians boldly appeal to the ignorant mob by appealing to their lusts for other men's money and success. They appeal to human dignity and morality to cloak their naked self-interest and tyranny.
Socialism has appeal. Communism has appeal. Because the poor are told, we're, you know, you're not poor. You're poor because other men, it's other men's fault, and we're going to take their money away and we're going to give it to you. And then whatever what happens, at first socialism looks great as they steal the money, but they run out of money. Then they start to print money. Then the money collapses. Second, closely related to the previous point, is that atheistic naturalism has led to the divinization of the state, or the idea that the state should be man's savior. Because the atheistic rejects the true and living God of Jesus Christ, who is the only real savior of men, there's only one way to be saved, that's Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He makes man the only savior of mankind. Man is. The state is. And because the state is the focal point of power and authority in society, and spirituality is a priori rejected, anything supernatural is rejected, apart even from the facts, salvation for the atheist or secular humanist is always political. Have the state take control of everything. Have the state take control of medicine. Have the state take control of the economy. Have the state do this. Have the state do that. It's faith in the state is God. The state will save you. And of course, we know from history that that's a disaster. So the state has the authority to determine what is good and what is evil, and it determines the means of salvation as well. Historically, this has always meant coercion for the people's own good. Whether Marxism or socialistic states or fascist dictatorships, which is fascism, classical fascism is this. You leave the means of production in the hands of private individuals, but you tax and regulate them like crazy so that you're basically profiting from them. And it's kind of what we have. What the Democrats really want is fascism. That's what's so ironic, is Antifa, this anti-fascist group, they claim to be anti-fascist, they're advocating fascism. What the Democrats want is fascism. They'll let you have your private property, but they'll tax and regulate you to the point where they're making all the money and you're a slave of the state. Whether Marxist, socialist, fascist, or welfare states, they're largely democratic. Salvation always means salvation through state control or coercion. The state seeks jurisdiction over every area of life through laws and regulations. And these laws and regulations are backed up by force, by fines, by jail time, by confiscation. Political domination, of course, in communist countries, by death. Political domination or coercion in the secular humanist is a secular humanist way of coping with problems and ushering in utopia. People are regarded as stupid and incapable of self-government. And thus men must be ruled by a political savior elite, which in the United States is what the Democrats think of themselves. You know, adopt our plans. Of course, they never tell you how they're going to pay for it. Their plans, we'd be bankrupt very rapidly. Throughout history, these status saviors attempts at salvation have always meant terror, oppression, confiscation of property, murder on an industrial scale, a shocking bloodbath, a reign of terror, concentration camps, thought police, and endless bloodshed. Statism and socialism in all its forms is simply the political application of the belief that autonomous man is the source of truth and can solve all of man's problems. Here's a quote from Robert Morey. But someone may ask, what does this all have to do with the various atheistic groups in America? Are you saying that they're all communists? As a matter of record, many atheists have gone public with their campaign to secularize America. Do not hesitate to admit that they are communists, leftists, or socialists, and that their anti-religion campaign is an outgrowth of their political commitment to Hegel or Marx. It is thus no surprise to find that most of the modern movements which espouse atheism do so as a necessary ingredient of their leftist ideologies.
Modern anti-theists proclaim their unbelief in God as part of a package deal, which includes totalitarian socialism as the ultimate goal. Of course, a few atheists would deny that their atheism is connected with socialism or communism. Upon closer questioning, however, these individuals virtually always have a hidden political agenda that includes the denial of religious freedom. And while there may be somewhere a few patriotic atheists who are capitalists and proud of it, although I have yet to meet such a person, our main concern should be with the various organizations and leaders who make up the modern movement of anti-theism. This movement should not be viewed as a sophomore philosophical discussion on the proofs for the existence of God. Its adherents have a political agenda that calls for suppressing of all religious freedom. Thus, this is not a philosophic game, which is to be played by philosophers in their ivory towers. The ultimate issue deals with the future of religious liberty. Once we discover that today's atheistic movements in the U.S. have the same political agenda as do their counterparts in communist countries, we realize that unbelief is not just a philosophical debate about abstract arguments for or against God's existence. End of quote. Now, they'll insist that we believe in freedom, religious freedom. Well, yeah, they believe in religious freedom between your ears. It's something you can hold privately, but it can influence the schools, it can influence your business, it can influence your family. They want complete control. That's what they want. Moreover, since the state is the highest expression of man's autonomous power, it has total jurisdiction over man and religion, if tolerated at all, is restricted to what lies between your two ears, as I just noted. In the humanistic, secular humanistic system, there can only be one true God and one method of salvation. Religion, therefore, must be relegated to the heart, or at most the four walls of a church building. The crowning goal of Satan has always been to have an anti-Christian, anti-God, one-world government. God stopped the attempt at the Tower of Babel and will restrain status for the sake of his church. So we should be thankful for that, that God restrains it. Look at the Democratic Party, if you don't believe me. Look at the way they think about Christians. They think Christians are dangerous. They think Christians are absolute fools. They have to be suppressed. The health care laws, the abortion laws, all these laws are, yeah, publicly, we're going to do all these things that are completely anti-Christian. If you want to hold that in your head, fine. But the moment you go beyond what's between your two ears, we're going to lock you up and we're going to fine you. If you don't want to bake a cake for a couple of sodomites, we're going to take your business. We're going to fine you. We're going to put you in jail. Under secular humanism, every man is his own God, and thus, on a personal level, ethical anarchism is the atheist creed. But on a social level, the atheist seeks the unity of the Godhead through totalitarian statism. In a world without truth and absolutes, only coercion can bring man together in community and salvation. Thus propaganda, hatred, lies, coercion is used in the name of love and humanity. Children must be brainwashed in atheistic state schools, colleges, and universities. It's the only way to have salvation. Atheistic statism is rooted in the ancient heresy of salvation through law and regulations. Statism assumes that man's creative power and law is the path to salvation rather than Jesus Christ, sacrificial death and the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit that flows from the efficacy of that death. Our only hope as a culture and society is to look to Christ and build civilization upon the Word of God, Christian civilization. I mean, even the leader of Great Britain, I brought mine went blank, Winston Churchill, said we have to stop the Nazis to save Christian civilization. He admitted that, even though he probably personally was not a Christian. Consequently, biblical law is often viewed as evil and oppressive, and legislation that gives its blessing to gross immorality is put in its place. The result, of course, is not salvation, but antinomianism and social decay. Thus, although anarchism and statism appear to be rival forms of atheistic humanism, they are actually logically closely related. The chronic atheistic dance between statism and anarchism can only be resolved by rejecting atheism and anarchism and bowing the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and his revealed inscripturated law. So atheism and secular humanism has completely distorted the whole purpose of civil government. The biblical view of civil government is primarily to punish crime and defend the borders. They're there for safety. They're there to punish criminals, to punish lawbreakers, to punish what is evil, evil acts. That's the biblical view. The purpose of civil laws is to restrain evildoers, biblically defined, so that men can raise their families in peace and conduct economic activities without theft, with regularity, without fraud, without coercion. So the law is essentially negative in its purpose. It is not there to save man, but to ensure freedom or liberty. It deals with actual evil acts, not with thoughts or how much money someone makes or things like birth control or health care. The modern concept of the civil magistrate that flows from atheism or secular humanism is essentially that man is God, and that it is the state's duty to mold man and to save him from all of life's problems, to save him from himself, his own stupidity. The law, we are told, must serve a saving positive function. The health and physical welfare of the people is the highest law. And the state must have total jurisdiction in order to compel people into their idea of total health. This thinking, which began to get traction after World War I and then was greatly accelerated by Franklin Delano Roosevelt. By the way, his policies did not get men out of the Great Depression. World War II did. And in 1939, things turned around when the Brits and people were buying things from us with gold because they needed to support the war effort. Anyway, Roosevelt's views logically lead the eye of an omnipotent state, for good intentions are confused with truth and actual results. This in turn leads to a totalitarian state. Everything becomes a part of the state's jurisdiction because everything can potentially contribute to the health or salvation of society. Because there is no transcendent law, the law is unlimited, and if the law is unlimited, the state is unlimited. It becomes the duty of the state not to simply suppress evil actions, biblically defined as crimes, but to control all men for their own salvation. A salvation arbitrarily defined by the state. They want atheistic centers for little children before preschool. They want universal preschool. And then they want to put the wives into the workforce. So the children can be molded not simply from kindergarten till the time they're 22, by statist education. They want to mold it even before they're in kindergarten. Well, Rush Dooney, and the reason I quote so much from Rush Dooney, he's just simply the best on these kind of topics. He comments well on the implication of this atheistic statist way of thinking. He says this: this means that no area of liberty can exist for man. There is then no area of things indifferent, of actions, concerns, and thoughts, which the state cannot govern in the name of public health. To credit the state with the ability to minister to the general welfare, to govern for the general and total health of the people, is to assume an omnicompetent state. And to assume an all-competent state is to assume an incompetent people. The state then becomes a nursemaid to a citizenry whose basic character is childish and immature. The theory that law must have a positive function assumes thus that the people are essentially childish. End of quote. So you say to yourself, why do the Democrats endorse a insane immigration policy of bringing in all these people from the third world who can't read or write that are just simply going to go on welfare? Because that's their view. They want a dependent class that the state can save. And, of course, in return, they get the votes of those people every election. They get the power, and then they get to claim that they're saving these people. Actually, welfare programs and statist programs keep people perpetually in slavery to the state and perpetually not progressing economically. Third, the atheistic worldview has led to the idea that education and the media, for example, the news outlets, does not have the purpose of discovering and learning truth, but rather exists to indoctrinate people with propaganda to serve messianic statism. Okay, CNN, CNBC, Fox isn't so bad,
But these news outlets, they're not concerned with the truth. And they're not concerned with objectivity, and they're not concerned with being balanced at all. Their concern is indoctrination and statism. The liberals in these positions would deny that they are little more than propagators of propaganda. But they are habitual liars who are living in self-deception. Secular humanists' views of economics, civil government, social justice, and egalitarianism permeate public education and the vast majority of news outlets. The idea of Western civilization has been replaced by a radical multiculturalism. The achievements of Bach, Handel, and Vivaldi cannot be said to be more advanced than African men beating on logs with pieces of wood, because these men were all white Europeans. We must have multiculturalism. Now, did they make their great achievements because they were white? No, absolutely not. They made their great achievements because of the influence of Christian culture. Bach was a Christian. Handel was a Christian. Vivaldi, I don't know. He was certainly influenced by it. The idols and totems of wild tribes are just as good and valid as the paintings of Leonardo da Vinci or Michelangelo. The achievements of Marxism and socialism, which has always been a complete disaster, are never viewed empirically and objectively. You know how many nations have been socialist and communist in the world? All the Eastern European nations, the Soviet Union, Cambodia, Vietnam, China, some of the South American countries. It's never worked. It's always been a complete disaster. It's always led to death and poverty. But they're simply said to be not really pure systems of socialism. Their God is a socialist state, and it's of infallibility. And perfection cannot be questioned. The widespread dishonesty, corruption, lies, and failures of the Democratic Party are either completely ignored or downplayed. Sometimes a great fiction is perpetrated. We are taught in school that Roosevelt got America out of the Great Depression. No, he made it worse. His policies of statism made it worse. World War II got us out of the Great Depression. Atheism is a self-induced madness that leads toward judgment and destruction. The modern fathers of the public school system, such as Dewey, looked to the Soviet Union and Ataturk's Turkey as their example for education, even though both were oppressive dictatorships. The goal of atheistic statist education is to mold man into good citizens of the state, to fulfill their concept of the community of man. This means that the goal of education is not to learn the truth so men can think and reason as a smart individual. You know, think for themselves and figure out what's going on. They don't know that's not the purpose at all. It is to mold man as good socialists, as good slaves of the state. And you wonder why so many people supported Bernie Sanders and these young democratic socialist candidates. Because they're complete morons. They've been brainwashed. Self-fulfillment is found in community or one's dedication to the state. There is a deliberate shift away from personal responsibility toward a class and race and sex consciousness where one's energy must be directed to egalitarian socialistic communitarianism. In order to strengthen the bond of community, individually must be surrendered to the needs of the village, the state. Dewey, the father of modern American public school philosophy, believed that a thoroughgoing socialization and organized planning meant the fulfillment of the individual in the socialistic state. For Dewey, the only truly free mind is the socialist mind. So you got to understand this, how these people think. Their view of freedom is slavery, slavery to the state. Their view of freedom is not to think for yourself and to not use logic and reason and empiricism, and to not be able to think and analyze things. Their view is to submit yourself to the propaganda of the state totally. Now, they wouldn't say that, but that's what they're doing. Well, some say it. The denial of individual liberty in atheistic thinking is, in their mind, the only true liberty. That's the only way to have liberty. Remember Hillary Clinton's book, It Takes a Village?
Moreover, they view the state school as the new established church, the new vehicle of social salvation, which for them means statism, socialism, with the goal of a one-world socialist government. The true God is humanity. And the purpose of education is the maintenance of the proper status or socialistic social order. The atheist or secular humanist views the school's duty as the creation or faith in the one world of man, as defined by status socialists. The goal is social unification with atheistic naturalism and the statist ruling elite as the unifying factor. The atheistic secular humanist seeks to build a new Tower of Babel, man's ancient symbol of oneness and commonality, irrespective of truth, irrespective of reality, irrespective of results. It's what amazes me that people could see in America are so dedicated to socialism when the whole 20th century says in capital letters that it's a massive failure that leads to slavery to the state and murder. We see that atheists are very religious, but instead of following Jesus Christ, the apostles and the prophets of Scripture, they follow Marx and his stepchildren. And of course, Marx is simply a stepchild of Hegel and Feuerbach. This helps us understand the habitual lying and propaganda of left-wing politics and statist education. Ethics ultimately is to be seen entirely in terms of state consciousness. Lying and propaganda is considered a duty, as long as it serves state power and its social interests, for there is no morality beyond the state and its social interests. Okay, you wonder, you know, you got Hillary and all these people from the FBI on the left committing all these blatant crimes. Serious, blatant crimes, and it's clearly been done. No punishment. And then on the right, you got Donald Trump and some people doing virtually nothing. Now, I know that some of the people that have been locked up, they did crimes before they met Donald Trump, and they're getting locked up for that, or they're getting locked up for lying, supposedly. There is no neutrality. There is no objectivity. Everything must go to the service and love and worship of the state. Since man in the mass or community is his version of the universal rather than the infinite personal God of Scripture, anything that fractures this universal is anathema and must be suppressed. For them, the great community or the great society is their secular version of the Christian's New Jerusalem. See, if you understand this, when you watch TV and when you watch what's going on in politics, you're going to understand what's going on. The only reason the Republicans are better than the Democrats is they have more people influenced by Christian principles. That's the only reason. The idea of the great community, when held consistently without the restraints of Christian world and life view, leads to a lack of freedom and a status inquisition. It is only currently checked in the United States by the influence of the Bible-believing Christians and the liberating influence of the Bible. And, of course, our U.S. Constitution, which was influenced by the Bible. It's defective. I mean, it should exalt Christ as king over the nation. It does not. But it was built on Christian principles, which said you can't trust men with making up their own laws. You can't trust men with power. There has to be restraints on men because men are sinners. Men are depraved. They had that principle. Our Constitution helps in that those who wrote it were strongly influenced by Christianity, the Christian world and life view, and understood that men were not God and could not be trusted with unlimited power. With all this in mind, it is important that Americans keep their children out of the state schools. Don't ever send your kid to a public schools. What's wrong with you? Make the sacrifices needed to keep them out. Unless you want your kids to grow up and behave heathen swine and go to hell. Christians must not trust the civil government at all or the media at all. And Christians must do all they can to make America a Christian once again. And our laws based on biblical principles. Before God destroys our nation for the abortion holocaust and its rank immorality. That's our hope, the Bible. That's our hope, Christ. Put your faith in Christ. Trust in his sacrificial death on the cross to eliminate your sin and guilt. And then build your life on the bedrock of Scripture.
and obey what Christ teaches. That is the only foundation of true liberty. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks for your word. Oh, we thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, for we were lost. We were sheep without a shepherd. We were blind and fools and immoral, running from the truth and suppressing the truth about you, Lord. But you gave us your Son, Christ, who opened our blind eyes by sending us his Spirit and regenerating our wicked hearts and giving us faith in his perfect work of redemption. Oh, Lord, help us to live consistently with your holy law and apply these principles to our families, to our businesses, to our education, and to the state, so that we could be a Christian nation. America will never be great until America is explicitly Christian. We thank you once again for Jesus Christ, your only begotten.